Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Some years ago, we were vacationing in the mountains of western North Carolina. And like many visitors to that area, we decided one day to go apple picking at one of the local orchards. It proved to be a very disappointing experience. It turns out that year, that portion of the state had been afflicted by a severe drought during the spring and summer months. And the result was that the apple crop that year had been utterly decimated. By the time we arrived in late September, there was no fruit to be had anywhere. All the trees were bare. Our children were just heartbroken by this. They had been looking forward to this experience for some time. But here we stood in the midst of this vast orchard with nothing to show for our efforts but long faces and empty baskets. Well, you know, as the father, you feel the need to somehow try and redeem the situation. So I said, let's look on the bright side. We can still walk around and admire the trees and enjoy the beautiful scenery. In football, that's called a Hail Mary pass. Something that's done in desperation. And I'm sorry to say, it didn't work. Our son Jackson, who was 8 years old at the time, was having none of it. In fact, he threw down his basket on the ground and he blurted out, oh, Dad, what's the point? What's the point of going around and looking at a bunch of dumb apple trees if they don't have any apples? Now, he was very young at the time. As I said, he was only 8 years old, and I'm sure he didn't realize it, but actually, in his disappointment and frustration, my son was putting his finger on a very important spiritual truth. The very same truth, in fact, that Jesus is attempting to convey here in today's gospel lesson. Namely, the vital importance of being fruitful. For you see, in the Christian life, as in the apple orchard, the whole goal, the whole purpose of our existence is to bear fruit. And not just fruit, but Jesus says, the kind of fruit that lasts. In verse 16 of today's gospel lesson, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. It's worth noting these were among the very last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples prior to the crucifixion. In fact, Jesus spoke these words on the night that he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when you stop and think about it, that really is quite significant. Why? Well, because a person's last words are often among their most significant. They express what is foremost in that person's thoughts and on their heart as they come to the end of their days. The last words of Napoleon Bonaparte, for instance, are reputed to have been these: France, the army, Josephine. Apparently, it was his former wife, Josephine, who was forefront in the emperor's thoughts as he prepared to depart this earth. The last words of the famous evangelist Dwight L. Moody were these: earth recedes, heaven beckons, this is my triumph, this is my coronation day. As Moody lay dying, he was thinking about heaven and the hope of glory. Well, as Jesus came to the end of his time on earth and was approaching the cross, it's clear that fruitfulness among his followers was one of his primary concerns. Jesus wanted to be absolutely certain that his followers were going to live fruitful lives. Well, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you? Are you leading a fruitful life? Can you honestly say that you are a fruitful man or a fruitful woman? Some of you may be wondering to yourself, what does that even look like? What does it even mean to be a fruitful individual? Well, that's what I want us to take a look at this morning. Because obviously, if this idea of fruitfulness was of such significance to Jesus as he came to the end of his earthly ministry, then it ought to be of great significance for us, his followers, as well. So that being said, what is the fruitful life? Well, the first thing we need to understand is that the fruitful life, according to the Bible, is not necessarily the same thing as the successful life. This can be a hard word for Americans to hear because there are few things that we value more than success. We admire the likes of businessmen like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and athletes like Simone Biles, who shone so brilliantly at the recent Olympics, and anyone really who by their own hard works, courage, tenacity, managed to rise to the top of the heap. General Douglas MacArthur summed up the attitude of many Americans when he said, "There is no substitute for victory." Well, don't get me wrong, hard work, tenacity, courage, stick-to-itiveness, the things that lead to success are admirable qualities. And the Bible commends these virtues to us. But none of these things actually constitute or contribute to what Jesus calls the fruitful life. And that's because when Jesus speaks of fruit in this passage, you'll notice again, he speaks of a fruit that lasts, a fruit that abides, a fruit that endures. And no purely human effort, however impressive it may be, ultimately endures forever. Alexander the Great was perhaps the most successful political and military individual in all of history. By the age of 33, he had conquered most of the world of his time. His empire was vast and stretched all the way from Macedonia, modern-day Greece, to northern India. But did you know that within 1 year of his death, that great empire began to disintegrate? It was carved up. And today it is little more than a memory. And so it is with all human endeavors. You know that business that you've been striving, working at for all these years? You know that practice that you've worked so hard to establish? You know all of those efforts that you have made to get your children into the right school, to get the right SAT score so that they get into Harvard, Yale, Princeton? All of these things, well-intentioned things, they will one day pass away. Indeed, we ourselves will one day disappear. So what is this fruit that abides? What is this fruit that Jesus says lasts when everything else is gone? Well, Paul gives us the answer here in today's epistle lesson from Galatians 5. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Paul says these are the things that remain. And I want you to notice that Paul refers to all nine of these virtues in the singular. That is to say, he doesn't refer to them as the fruits of the Spirit. He calls them the fruit of the Spirit. And that's because they are a package deal. You don't just get a few of these things. They all go together like a clump of grapes. Someone has said, these are not nine different spiritual gems. These are nine facets on the same dazzling jewel. Which tells us that when Paul talks about spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, what he's really talking about is a life that is conformed to the character of Christ. He's talking about Christ-likeness. Because Jesus was the only one in all of history who ever exhibited all of these qualities in their fullness. You know, from time to time, people will ask me, how can I know for sure that I'm a Christian? How can I know for certain that if I were to die today, I would go to be with the Lord? Well, let me tell you something. There's only one way to know for certain. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. That is to say, you know that you're a child of God. You know that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life if your character is conformed to the character of Jesus. If your life is marked out by the same things that marked out his life, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. Paul says these are the fruit of the Spirit. This is the evidence of salvation. It is a life that is conformed to Christ. That's the reason it's the fruit that lasts. It's a life conformed to Christ's life. And it is the good works and the efforts that flow from that life that ultimately abide. C.T. Studd was a famous British athlete and cricket player who gave up a very promising athletic career in order to enter the mission field in Africa. When somebody asked him why he was doing that, he famously replied, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. It's only what's done for Christ that lasts." And that is absolutely correct. The fruit that abides, the legacy that endures when everything else passes away, is a life that is conformed to the life of Jesus Christ. And it is the good works, the efforts, the deeds that flow from that life. And that is why you'll notice Jesus places such a heavy emphasis in today's gospel lesson on this notion of abiding, abiding in Him. Because he said, abiding in Him is the secret to Christ's likeness, and Christ's likeness is the means to lasting fruit. Look at what he says in verses 4 and following of today's lesson. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." In our back garden at the rectory, we have a beautiful dogwood tree that blooms every spring. These magnificent white blossoms that look like just great clumps of snow. Well, sadly, this past June, one of the major limbs running off the trunk of that tree broke off in a heavy rainstorm. It hit the ground. Now, at first, it looked seemingly unharmed. All of the blossoms were intact, all the leaves were there. But over the course of the next 2 days, until we had the opportunity to clean it up, we noticed a difference. All of those blossoms began to wither, and all of those green leaves began to wilt. Because that limb was no longer attached to the trunk, because it was no longer drawing its life-giving nourishment from the sap of the tree, because it was no longer abiding in the tree, it withered and died. And Jesus says the same is true for us. He describes himself in this passage as a vine, and he says, "You and I are the branches." And he says, "Abide in me," that is to say, "Remain with me," he says, "and you will bear fruit." That is to say, you will grow in Christ's likeness. Indeed, he says, "You will bear much fruit." But apart from me, he says, you will wither. You will perish. You'll become fruitless. You'll become useless, just like a severed branch. Now, don't misunderstand. Jesus is not saying in this passage that you and I, apart from him, turn into inert masses of lifeless material. He is not saying that apart from him, you and I can do nothing at all in life. Actually, men and women do all sorts of things apart from Christ. We do them every day. You can have a marriage apart from Christ. You can raise your children apart from Christ. You can run a business apart from Christ. In fact, you can fill your days and nights with endless activity and busyness, and you can impress hundreds, even thousands of people with all of the things that you have seemingly done. But Jesus is very clear, whatever we do apart from him, it will come to nothing. He's not saying that we can do nothing. He's saying that whatever we do apart from him will be nothing. Unless, he says, we abide in him. Because abiding in him leads to Christ-likeness, and Christ-likeness leads to lasting fruit. What does that look like? What does it look like for you to abide in Christ? Well, first of all, it means you have to be connected to Christ. That word abide means to remain or to continue. Well, you can't continue or remain in something unless you're already connected to it. A branch cannot continue to abide or remain in the vine unless it's connected to the vine. And you and I cannot continue to abide or remain in Christ unless we are already connected to Christ. And yet the scripture is very clear, that is just the problem. You and I are not connected to Christ. In fact, it's just the opposite. The scriptures teach that you and I are separated from Christ because of the sin in our lives. Paul in Ephesians says that we are strangers, we are foreigners, we are aliens. He describes us as being far off because of our sin and our rebellion. So if you want to bear fruit, if you want to leave behind a lasting legacy, folks, the first thing that needs to happen is you need to get connected to the vine. In order to abide in Christ, you must be in Christ. Now, how does that happen? I'm going to make this very simple this morning. It happens by believing, and it happens by receiving. It happens by believing, first of all, that you are a sinner, that you have rebelled against God, and you're under the judgment of God, and you cannot save yourself. And it happens by receiving the grace, the mercy, the pardon, the forgiveness that is freely offered to you in the person of Jesus Christ through his death upon the cross. That is how someone who is far off is brought near. That is how someone who is not part of the branch is grafted into the vine. I cannot tell you how important this is, because there are so many people today, even many church-going people, who are confused about this. They assume that because they have been raised in close proximity to the vine, in close proximity to religious things, raised in the church, raised in a Christian home, that they are automatically in Christ. But as Jesus makes clear in this analogy, it's not a matter of proximity. That branch that broke off our tree in the backyard, it was in close proximity to the trunk. It still withered. It's a question of connectedness. Think about Judas Iscariot. Here was a man who lived in close proximity to Jesus for 3 years, sat under the Lord's teaching, witnessed the Lord's miracles, and yet the Bible says that Judas Iscariot perished for all eternity because he was never a part of the vine. If you are going to grow, flourish, produce fruit, my friends, you must be connected to the vine. The first thing that must happen is you must make a conscious decision to believe and to receive. But even after you've done that, there is still this business of abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ. What does that involve? That involves two things. You'll want to write these down. That involves discipline and dependence. Discipline and dependence. By discipline, I mean that there are conscious decisions and choices that you and I have to make in the Christian life. Jesus says, abide in me. That's not a suggestion, it's a command. It involves an act of the will. It takes effort. Jesus uses this image of vine and branches. So think about making wine. Anybody familiar with the wine industry knows just how much effort it takes to produce the best kind of grape for the best kind of wine. It takes months, sometimes years, to cultivate the right kind of fruit. You don't just plant a vine in the ground and expect that it's going to take off, flourish, and produce fruit. You have to tend the vine. You have to care for it. You have to carefully cultivate it. And the same is true in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Even once you are connected with him, if you are going to grow in him, you're going to have to cultivate it, care for it, tend that relationship. Kristen and I once had the privilege of visiting the great Mondavi Vineyard out in Napa Valley, California. We spent a whole day there, and I learned so much about how hard it is to produce good grapes. There are all sorts of things that have to be added, and there are all sorts of things that have to be eliminated if the vine is going to flourish and produce fruit. I learned that you have to add things like water, fertilizer, nitrates in order for the vine to flourish. And I learned that you have to eliminate things like insects and sucker shoots. Sucker shoots are these cane-like branches that run out from the vine, but all they produce are leaves. They never produce fruit, just leaves. And if they are allowed to remain, they actually siphon off the life of the vine. They actually rob the fruit of much needed water and nutrients, so they have to be cut off. The same is true in the Christian life. If you're going to grow and flourish and produce lasting fruit, there are certain things that you're going to have to add to your daily regimen. What are the spiritual nutrients that we need in order to grow? You need times of dedicated prayer, because more is wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. You need times of corporate worship. The New Testament says, do not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And you need times of dedicated daily Bible study. This last one is particularly important because Jesus says, abide in me, and my word must abide in you. In other words, the rector's Bible study on Thursday is not going to be enough. It has to be a time of dedicated daily Bible study if you are going to grow. But it's not just the things that have to be added to our lives. It's also those things that need to be eliminated. Ask yourself, what are the sucker shoots in my life? What are those things that are drawing off the spiritual nourishment? What are those things that are keeping me, those activities or behaviors that keep me from going to church on Sunday and making that a priority, that keep me from saying my prayers, that keep me from daily dedicated Bible study? Are you prepared to cut those things off that you might grow, that you might flourish, that you might produce the kind of fruit that abides? Think about the way you spend your time. This is always very revealing. Time is one of the most precious commodities that we have as human beings. And we are each allotted the same daily amount. But we don't all spend our time in the same way, do we? How do you spend your time? Do you spend the bulk of your time in pursuit of worldly pleasures? Is it secular activities that take up your weekends and your days and your nights? What are those things that need to be eliminated from your life in order that you might grow and that you might flourish? So, to abide in Christ involves discipline. But it also involves dependence. Because even when we decide that we are going to do these things, even when we are determined to add these things and to eliminate these things from our lives, we all recognize that we do not have the power or the strength to accomplish them. How did Jesus put it? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Think about all of those failed New Year's resolutions, all those broken promises, all of those diets that never make it past the first week. It's not that we don't have good intentions. It's not that we don't understand what we need to do. It's that we do not have the power, the strength, the wherewithal in and of ourselves to do them. So yes, we must abide in Christ, but he says he must abide in us. We must rely on him for the strength to even do these things. It reminds me of that wonderful collect on the second Sunday in Lent. It goes like this: Almighty God, who seest that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves,
Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Well, that is it exactly. You and I have no power of ourselves to help ourselves, so we must depend upon Christ and His grace to continue to make the choices, sometimes the tough choices, that lead to genuine spiritual growth and fruit. Discipline and dependence. That is how you abide in Christ. How many of you, when you come to the end of your days, want to know that you are going to leave behind a lasting legacy? How many of you want to know that it is not all for nothing? How many of you want to know that your fruit is going to be the fruit that abides? Jesus said you must be connected to the vine, and then you must abide in Him. Abide in me, He says, and you will bear fruit. Indeed, you'll bear much fruit. Indeed, your fruit will last. The old Sunday school song put it well. Bearing fruit for Jesus, growing for the King, lives of loving service all His people bring. Bearing fruit for Jesus, this our joyous song, for our loving Savior, growing all day long. As we begin this new church semester, God grant that starting today, we may abide in Him and be the fruit that lasts. Amen.